welcome to another brand new installment of 10 Days of Oscars here on the Cinephiles. I am the outlaw John Roach, joined as always by my co-host on the Cinephiles, Steve Morris. How are you, Steve?
I am really good, and I am very excited to talk about this film. This is one of the ones I waited till the end to watch, and I really just watched it a few days ago, and I really love this movie.
Yeah, this is a fantastic film brought to us by writer-director Celine Song. It is Past Lives, this film that stars Greta Lee, Tio Yu, and John Magaro here. And this one is a fascinating film here. It premiered at Sundance Film Festival in January 21 of 2023. Then was released in June. It got named one of the top 10 films of 2023 by the National Board of Review, the AFI. It got five nominations at the Golden Globes, including Best Motion Picture, Drama, and Best Actress. And received nominations for Best Original Screenplay and Best Picture. But sadly, Steve, just like our episode on Barbie, Celine Song was not nominated for Best Director, even though this is one of the most interesting, time-bending, tender, and fascinating films that is a commentary on the idea of the connections that we find with people that we come back to in our lives and what fuels that connection and why do we feel like we've known this person in the past. And I thought it was such a interesting film that explored from the Korean point of view, the American point of view, and the idea of being much more advanced emotionally about how these feelings come about and what these feelings mean. Your thoughts overall on Past Lives? What did you think of this movie, my friend?
So first of all, as now we've said many times, the split of the 10 Best Picture nominees and 5 Best Director nominees is stupid. And this is another movie that shows it, because this is a conceptual film top to bottom. It's written and directed by this by Celine Song, who I think does an incredible job in her debut. And it's not just like frequently when you have a writer directing their first movie, you will see, okay, maybe they're a great writer and the language and the dialogue and the circumstances really pop, but visually they're a beginner. So they don't really have their full visual chops locked in. That's not the case in this movie. There is a very, very clear approach, a very clear aesthetic that is created by Celine Song. And I think it's a lovely movie. And it's so funny because at the end, it took me until the end to make this connection, is it relates very much to one of my favorite films that we had done on the Cinephiles, which is David Lean's Brief Encounter. Is that there's a real thematic similarity. The structure, the setup is different, but the idea that you could have a happily married couple that are happily married, and you could have this other relationship that is vibrant and real and powerful and connected to, as you say, all the things having to do with past lives, and they can both be true. And this, and what I love, because as we talked about, I'm not a big fan of bad guys. I love movies where there are no bad guys, where there's conflict and difficulty and stress, but not because someone is trying to hurt anybody else. In fact, everybody in this movie is a good guy.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, and I think you have to, I think it's a film that once again kind of opens your mind on these situations, right? Because of course, the idea of, oh, you having feelings for someone else or someone from the past coming in, there's all these aspects of jealousy and all these negative things that come about. But Michael Angaro's character, I think, is fantastic here in his chemistry with Greta Lee. He's such an interesting guy because He's very firm in who he is. He's very firm in their relationship. When they have those fights, he's very firm in his point of view of things. But he's also a guy who understands and creates space for his wife to have this connection with a guy from his past. Even bringing up this idea that he was afraid that she might have married him for his green card, questioning her feelings for him. So instead of going the standard male route where he's just upset and it's a jealousy thing and he becomes a bore, so that you start to care about that relationship, the other relationship, more and want that to happen, you're stuck in this place where you're like, look, I don't know if she should be doing this, but then again, I've had this experience where you meet someone, you connect to them, and like, what would I do in this situation? And, oh my God, he's being so open to it, but you can tell he's clearly hurt and bothered by it. So it was a fantastic high wire act of emotional exploration, advanced emotional exploration of situations like this. And especially now in our society, when we're opening the door to expanding what a relationship means, we're seeing more and more people being open about talking about experimenting, talking about polyamorous stuff, talking about opening the door to having feelings for somebody else, but also respecting what you have here, but being open to all of that. I thought it was such a perfect time for this film to come out when we're much more exploratory now as a society than I think we've ever been about emotional connections.
I couldn't agree more. I do, and I really want to highlight, I think Greta Lee is so good in this movie.
Yeah.
Like what I wrote down in my notes is like, she is a fully realized human character.
Yeah.
And she has so much power and charisma and vulnerability and kindness. And there's so much behind her eyes in so many scenes, so much going on.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, you know, we've had these kind of conversations for years, and in particular, when we talked about Brief Encounter, it's like, I'm not a jealous person. And so like, it is perfectly reasonable to me that people can make these connections and have these connections that are special and important and completely isolated from their connection with their significant other. Right. There's nothing in this movie that says whatever my feelings are for this guy, which are obviously complicated, lessen my feelings for the husband. You know what I mean? There's nothing, they're unrelated. He understands that. And yet it's still so painful. I mean, there's a scene where the three of them are together, and mostly she's speaking in Korean to this guy that was her childhood. And he's there, and we know that he's been trying to learn Korean.
Yep.
So we know he speaks some Korean, which means he's understanding some of what they are saying to each other.
Right.
But he can't understand all of what they are saying to each other. And we don't get to know which parts of it he understood or which parts that he didn't. And we're looking at his face as he's reacting to all this and just sitting there and going, what is going on inside of him? What complicated things of emotions? And the same way the other way with this guy, there's a line where he says to her, I didn't know that liking your husband would hurt so much. That is a great, because the thing is, he does like the husband.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of, you know, the way they're exploring. Well, part of this is because we've lived past lives together. It's not just the past lives of our childhood that we were different people then. And that's when we interact. It's hundreds and hundreds of past lives through reincarnation where these three people have interacted many, many, many times in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that that leads to that ending moment when they have that exchange. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but that exchange they have in the ending moment, I thought was beautiful in the back and forth. And then her reaction to it with her husband, I thought, was powerful, very powerful. Yeah. And that is what was so great. And I think, Steve, it goes back to what you said at the beginning of this thing. Nobody is a bad guy. We want to. Like, it challenges us as a moviegoer because we're so conditioned to be like, okay, who am I cheering for? Who am I not cheering for? Who am I against? Who am I for? What do I want to have happen? But when you're watching the movie, you're like, well, damn, you know what? This is cool, but they had a past relationship. And so he's exploring it. No, but the husband is so cool. I don't want her to leave him. But then again, you can tell their connection, their chemistry. And then his feelings, as you said, when he's watching them talk in Korean. But then he even says that it was a pleasure to meet him, that he's glad he met him because he thought this was a good guy too. So, and then he's there to receive her at the end. And the husband, and I thought, this is so progressive in its approach to love, that when you love someone, you love all of them. And yes, there are moments that are going to challenge you. There are certain things that will pop up out of the blue that will challenge you. But part of what gets you through those moments is your genuine love for that person and navigating those situations. And I thought this film really was a strong commentary on that. And it was brilliantly done and so well written by Celine and directed by Celine. Because even in that scene you're talking about, which I'll bring up that thumbnail again, this, the way she moves the camera in this scene is so incredible, from and then focusing on those two and then shooting back to him. You are there, kind of like you're at the bar almost, watching this happen with insider knowledge of what's going on. And you're almost like, oh my God. And so I like that it's constantly challenging you on where the emotional places or where the emotional stakes are and what your feelings are about the emotional stakes as the film goes along.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, you know what I was thinking about is that the basic structure of love stories through most of Western literature is true love.
Yes.
That there's this person out there and that is your person. So you think of, like, in The Princess Bride, which is clearly a true love story.
Yeah.
They meet each other's true love, and that is the person they're supposed to be with. So even though she's engaged to get married to the prince, in the end, the prince must be a bad guy.
Yes.
Because anyone who is not Wesley is not true love and therefore a bad guy. And this movie is not in that realm. In fact, this movie is like, no, actually, Hae Sung that could also be her true love.
Yes.
It's very possible their true love, and the husband could be their true love. And those are just, these are past lives. These are different. Yeah. A different life would have taken them in a different direction. And that might've been true love, or this might've been, and they would have been different. There's a moment where he says something about her as a little girl. And she says, well, that little girl doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
But she did exist, you know,
at some point.
And he talks about who this version, because he at one point says to her, well, you're a person who leaves. And then this person that is married to this guy, this person stays.
Yeah.
And I think about this too, of like, here you and I are in the 2020s and we're podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd visited us in the 2000s, you're an actor and I'm a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You visit us another year, you're in the military and I'm studying, working in a copy store.
Right.
You know, we all have these past lives and at different times, different humans were the most important human in the world to you at that time.
Yeah.
When you were that person. Right. And now you're at this other time and you're kind of a different person in a different realm, and different people are the most important people in your world. Yeah. I think that's a really profound thing that we don't really think about, you know?
No, yeah, it's true. And as you get older, if you're lucky enough to get older and live a long life, you do see that that guy was a different guy, or that person was a different person than I was. I mean, I'm a different person than I was in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s and what have you. You're just in a different place in how you view the world and how you view that. And you go, yeah, that guy back then absolutely would have done this or would have done that. This guy now, no way. And so you see that as a different but of course, what makes the Hae-sun stuff work is because he is, or Sang-hong, the stuff work is because he is caught up with the fact that his interaction with her was from back then. He hasn't lived to see her. He hasn't lived through her life consistently to see the changes in her. So his only frame of reference is who she was back then, which is what makes him hard, which makes it hard for him to accept who she is now, because he wants her to be who she was back then, but she isn't. She's moved on. And so did he, by the way, right?
Yeah.
To the military, had a girlfriend himself, and which didn't work out, which is what motivated him him coming to see her and those periods. And look, I'm someone who has met people I care, ended up caring about on in chat boards and chat message rooms, went to visit one in Vienna for 10 days, which people know about that story. And so I understood this film so intrinsically and having experienced that myself. And so I loved it that was something that they modernized in the approach in telling the story.
Yeah, I think they both, in the end, well, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you think that they were better off having spent this time actually together than they would have been had none of this happened?
I say this. I think where we leave them, no. 10 years from now, yes. I think 10 years, 20 years from now, they'll be able to frame that, both of them frame that experience in a good way, because, and the husband as well. The husband 10 years from now will look at that and be like, oh, wow, that was something we had to go through, because she kind of had to put that to bed. And since she's put that to bed, she's a completely different person. She's much more, because there were issues in their marriage, what they talked about in certain moments throughout the movie, which I thought was great and real as well. And so maybe that experience changes her in a way that settles her feelings about him and makes it very clear that this is her person. This is who she's choosing to go with for the rest of her life, and him too. And so I think when we leave the movie, both of them are going to be much more damaged from the experience and have questions and have concerns and be caught up in it. But as life goes on, as they get older, as they move past the wounds of that, I think both characters, both Nora and Hae-sung, will be in a better place about that and will cherish having gone through that experience. Because as I said, in my experience with the woman I saw in Vienna, we fell in love with each other, but I had to come back. I had to finish school. I had to get my degree. I had to do my things. She hated that I was leaving. She was mad that I was leaving. But we stayed, we fought for the first 3 or 4 years after, at the end of that situation. She was always suspicious and mad, and I was always trying to figure out how I felt about it, but I couldn't go back to Vienna. But now we're still friends, and now we send each other happy birthday wishes. Now we have occasional fun conversations on Facebook chat, and it's great. And so it's like, at that time, of course it hurts and it sucks. Later in life, you're going to cherish that there was someone who was that precious to you and understood you that you could surrender pieces of yourself to at that time. So that's my answer. Very long-winded answer to your question.
My gut is I think they are better off. But the thing that I don't know is how Hae-sung feels when he goes home. Because obviously there's been this person that was taken out of his life when he was very young. Yep. And he's been holding that emptiness close to him for a really, really long time. And so the question is, did seeing her help him gain closure on this to some degree so that while he goes like, okay, this is an important person in my life, I can also move on and enjoy other aspects of my life? Or did seeing her just open up that wound in a much, much worse way? And I don't really know the answer. What I like is I think Nora understands some deep things about life.
Yeah.
Is that she understands, she kind of understands why he's here, what he wants, what her feelings are, and how to navigate through that space without taking that last step to doing something that's a violation, but still engaging in a fully human way. I think she is an impressive character, and I think she will go through what she goes through. And as you said, over time, will be better off, and her husband as well. That's my gut.
I think it's very clear that she's the more emotionally intelligent of the two. And, yeah, and I think she will realize that in time. I think Hae-sung, as he gets older and hopefully, you know, deals with this and confronts it, gets some help maybe from a psychiatrist or a therapist, he'll be able to frame this in a positive way and get that closure. But I don't think he gets the closure initially at all. He'll sit with the wound for a bit, especially with the last line he says to her, which is very much a longing line. So, yeah.
You know what? I again, it goes back to the Princess Bride and the ideas of true love. And I, you know, nobody loves Princess Bride as much as I mean. I love that movie. It's one of my all-time
Princess Bride, bro.
Princess Bride is fantastic. But I think we've been built up with the myth that we're gonna go through life and not have these big gaping wounds.
Yeah,
and it's not true. Because there's gonna be so many things where there was this person that you almost had that connection with, that you almost, that if there had been one more date or one more moment or one more thing, then things would have gone a different way, or the job you didn't get, or the, you know, thing that didn't happen. And you're always going to walk around with that wound, and like learning to live with those wounds is actually part of life. It's not the absent, you find true love and you live happily ever after. Right. That ain't how life works.
Well, not for most people. No, you're absolutely right.
I don't think it works that way for anyone.
You don't think anyone finds true love at a young age and is happy?
I think people can be happy, but, you know, your true love at 23 becomes your long-term marriage that has issues and stuff and every, you know. I do not think there is anybody that finds the right person and then blissfully lives in joy without any problems for the rest of their life.
Well,
I don't
think not without any problems, but. But I think there are people who meet people at young ages and stay married to them because they love them and never waver. I guess is what I'm saying. But yes, there will always
be. Yes, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, of course. All right, well, there you go. That's our conversation here on Past Lives. Hopefully we've encouraged some of you all to watch it who may not have seen it or maybe ignored it or weren't sure if you wanted to see it, because we both thoroughly enjoyed this movie. So we absolutely say you should give this one a shot. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but you can certainly get it on VOD.
It is. I think it's on Apple TV.
Oh, great.
Free, yeah.
You guys can watch it via Apple TV there, okay? All right, well, there we go. That's our conversation on Past Lives. Thanks so much for joining us for another installment of 10 Days of Oscars. Steve, where can they find you, and what do we have to tell them here?
Well, they can find me at SR Morris on Twitter, SR Morris 1 on Instagram, patreon.com/thecinephiles to support the show and get access to our shorts and ad-free versions of the show, along with watch-alongs and our advisory board. On Apple Podcasts, please leave your reviews. They mean a lot to us, and they help the show stay visible for people to find it. And you can also subscribe to the show and support it there on Apple Podcasts and get ad-free versions of the show and access to our shorts, and cinephiles.net, where you can buy or stream all the films that we reviewed.
There you go. That's me. You can find The Roku Says on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JohnRocaSays. But subscribe to this channel, hit your like button, leave your comments about the film and about our conversation there down below, and do that with all of our 10 Days of Oscars installments. We would very much appreciate it. And share these on social media, wherever you can, to get more people to come aboard the Cinephiles train. All right, take care of yourselves. Be well. We'll be back with another installment very soon. And until then, take care and peace. Bye. We'll be right back.